Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from the Block Talk Radio studio right here in the heart of Hudson County. Folks, you know it's always in Union City, New Jersey. This is the seventh time, and I do say it again, the seventh time, award-winning Talking the Hudson, and I am New Jersey's premier award-winning journalist, Top 100 Latino via the Latino Spirit online magazine for 2020, 2021, and certainly in 2022. Without a doubt, the voice of the people, certainly the weapon of mass disruption in Garden State media. Folks, it is I, Fernando Uribe. Thank you all for joining us here on the 21st of February. And so I want to thank you all for tuning in from wherever and however you may be doing so here on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, always check out the episode at blogtalkradio.com/talkingthehudson. Recent episodes have included Jersey City Council and Mayor Prince Array, Tapping Through Jersey City columnist and the Dean of Hudson County Journalism, Al Sullivan, and many more. Folks, the exclusives I bring you here on Talking the Hudson. Always write to the show's inbox. Love to hear from you all. TalkingTheHudson@gmail.com. Once again, folks, TalkingTheHudson@gmail.com. I do love getting emails, and do feel free to write to the show whatever you like about it, what you don't like about it. Hey, I'm always willing to read them, and I'm always willing to reply to them. So, again, write to the show. TalkingTheHudson@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Instagram, ladies and gentlemen, at Talk on the Hudson. And of course, check out my own Instagram. It's the same as my Twitter handle, at the Fernando Zone. Without a doubt, a lot of great traffic each and every day, brand new followers. And certainly if you like my brand of politics, I think you'll enjoy my social media. And of course, folks, always check out Talking the Hudson on Facebook. And of course, make sure you like me and of course, follow me on Facebook as well. Folks, I can't say enough here about the great guest I have coming up in just a few moments. You definitely want to stick around for that. But I do want to let you know that this week's edition of Talking the Hudson is brought to you by our amazing sponsors. Let's start off with the Township of Weehawken. And yes, folks, Mayor Richard Turner, along with the Town Council, and of course, Township Administrator Gio Ahmad, proudly supporting podcasts since the spring of 2020. You can check out all the great resources and township events at the town website, www.weehawken-nj.us. Whether it's about government, departments, recreation, and much more, folks, it's all there at the Weehawken Township website, www.weehawken-nj.us. If you have to visit Town Hall in Weehawken, it's right above the Lincoln Tunnel, located conveniently at 400 Park Avenue. You can call them Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 201-319-6005. Once again, 201-319-6005. Make sure you like them on Facebook at the Weehawken Township Official Government page and also follow them on Twitter at WeehawkenNJ. Also want to tell you about, ladies and gentlemen, the Township of West New York, my hometown, born and raised in West New York. I'm a proud Memorial Tiger. I can still rock my merch, so I guess maybe something to do with good jeans. I don't know, maybe my diet, whatever it is, folks. I'm still rocking my Tiger merch after all these years, so let's go Tigers. But of course, a shout-out to the Township Administrator, Jonathan Castaneda, along with Mayor Gabriel Rodriguez and the Board of Commissioners who have been supporting this podcast since the fall of 2019. Whether it's about the latest ordinances, parking services, that and much more, folks, check out the town website, www.westnewyorknj.org. Lots of great stuff coming up, especially in recreation and much more since hopefully it'll be getting warmer soon. Springtime is right around the corner. Town of West New York having great events for their kids and their seniors all throughout the town. Once again, westnewyorknj.org. Don't forget to like them on Facebook, again, at Town of West New York, and certainly follow them on Instagram and Twitter at Town of WNY. Also want to tell you about, ladies and gentlemen, another outstanding sponsor here on the show, New Jersey State Senator Brian Stack, proudly representing the new 33rd Legislative District. You can contact him at his cell phone, 201-376-1942. Once again, 201-376-1942. Pre-pandemic, during the pandemic, post-pandemic, State Senator Brian Stack has been working tirelessly for his constituents in the 33rd Legislative District, and that will not change, even though the makeup of the 33rd Legislative District will be changing this year after redistricting. It doesn't change his work ethic, his transparency, or his dedication, folks. Reach out to Mayor and State Senator Brian Stack for all of your needs in the 33rd Legislative District. He's happy to help you, and he's always happy to hear from you. Make sure you like him on Facebook, and of course, follow him on Instagram and Twitter. It's the same handle, folks, at Mayor Stack. Last but not least, ladies, I want to tell you about, obviously, the City of Union City, our last great sponsor here on the show, the city I call home. Check out all the great, great resources available to Union City residents at ucnj.com. Certainly, wonderful job by our mayor, Brian Stack, along with our commissioners, Lucia Fernandez, Marjorie Martinetti, Celine Valdivia, and Wendy Guron, working tirelessly for you, whether it's representing the arts, whether it's providing resources for our seniors, for our kids, just providing incredible manpower to our outstanding police department. They're always working hard for you folks in the city of Union City. Check it out at the city website, www.ucnj.com. Some great community events coming up. As a matter of fact, tomorrow night, February the 22nd at 7 p.m. at the William Musto Cultural Center, which is located at 420 15th Street, we'll be having a Hector Luis Sinsuda Presents, obviously great performances, free admission tomorrow at the William Musto Cultural Center. Folks, also, as a reminder, all donations can be made to help out fire victims in Union City by going to Town Hall at 3715 Palisade Avenue on the third floor. Also, the GoFundMe link is there available on the city website as well. And as a special programming note, folks, tomorrow night from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., yours truly will be joining the Hudson Media Group at the Hudson Media Group Studios in North Bergen, New Jersey, right along Tunnelly Avenue, along with John Hines, the editor of the Hudson County View, as well as many other elected officials, as we'll be doing a great telethon live on YouTube, on the Hudson Media Group Facebook page, their Instagram, their Twitter. And, of course, we'll be raising money to help out victims in West New York and Union City, folks, again, via the Hudson Media Group, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow. Tune in online, folks. You'll see your favorite journalist, Fernandy Uribe, along with everybody else and all the great elected officials there in attendance in the studio live, raising money for all the displaced parties, families, children in the township of West New York and Union City. Make sure you tune in tomorrow night, folks, online. Once again, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., the Hudson Media Group telethon to benefit West New York and Union City fire victims. And those are our great sponsors here every week, folks, on Talking the Hudson here on Block Talk Radio. Folks, if you wish to call in, I'd love to hear from you. We'll be taking some calls later in the show, so jot the number down, 657-383-0296. Once again, our toll-free number tonight, 657-383-0296. I'll take some calls a little bit later, so if you do call in, just be patient, wait in the call queue, and I'll take some calls later because we got a great guest coming up tonight, folks. And, you know, not just because I'm so proud to be a journalist and academic, folks, I always have appreciated athletics from having played it in high school, having played some in college, you know, intramural, whatever, even playing softball league still. It's still enjoyable to me. But I always applaud men and women that apply themselves to coaching and coaching our youth, especially at our local high schools. And tonight, I got a great guest here. I'll tell you, he's dedicated, and he's also got a lot to say tonight. And I know you are looking forward to hearing from him. What, folks, exclusively here tonight on Talking the Hudson, he is the head baseball coach at Ferris High School in Jersey City. I'll tell you, he's fiery, he's animated, he's passionate. He's my good friend, Josh Beteta, joining us here on Talking the Hudson. What's up, Coach?
Hey, thank you for having me, Fernando. I really appreciate this platform.
Well, listen, you're welcome. And I want to give everybody at home a little bit of a backstory here because it's interesting. I'm always looking for guests. And while, you know, for those of you that follow this podcast since its inception in March of 2017, it's pretty much a very political podcast. I've interviewed elected officials, candidates, journalists, activists, you know, mental health professionals, realtors. I try to make it a very sort of Hudson County-centered show. But it's always been very political. But every now and then, you know, I'm always very, very active on social media. I'm always looking at my Instagram stories. And what do you know, last week I come across someone sharing a very animated Instagram story. It was just written, and I'm reading through it, and I said, wait a second. I've heard of this guy. First thing I did was reach out to him because I'm very ballsy, ladies and gentlemen. I'm part Cuban, so I'm always going to be assertive, okay? And I saw Josh's message on Instagram, and I said, you know what? I saw his story. He was featured by somebody else. And I said, you know what? I'm going to reach out to him. It sounds like he has a serious grievance, which he does, and we'll get to that in a minute, folks. And I said, let me reach out to him. Worst case scenario, Josh might just say, well, I appreciate it, Fernando, but I really don't want to sort of put myself out there and kind of draw too much attention to myself. I appreciate it. You know, you have yourself a good President's Day weekend. And that's what I was expecting because it happens, you know, quite a few times. People get very animated, but they don't want to sort of go on the air. And I understand that there's a lot of variables people don't want to sort of, you know, deal with. And that's understandable, the scorn, the vitriol. But Josh doesn't feel that way. And I got to tell you, man, when I reached out to you, it was a great conversation, you know, last weekend.
Definitely. So I appreciate you having me on the show. A lot of people actually, when I mentioned that I was going to be on your radio podcast, they asked the same thing. Are you not afraid of the backlash? You know, you got to be careful. Some people ask me, well, do you work in the school? Because, you know, unfortunately, when you do come out and make certain statements, you know, you do have to be careful with your job because there's so many technicalities that people can catch you on. And so I don't have that issue. I'm not a Board of Education employee per se. I am technically because I do coach for the board, but I don't hold my career as a Board of Education employee.
Okay.
So that's not afraid to talk.
No, well, listen, and that's refreshing to hear. And I think that still, regardless, man, I can tell you're fearless and you are a guy with something to say. But before we get there, let's sort of delve into a little bit as to who you are, Josh. You're the head baseball coach at Ferris High School. And again, folks, if you haven't checked it out, for all you Instagram users, I don't know what you're waiting for, go follow them. @Ferris_Bulldogs_baseball on Instagram. And certainly if you need to contact them, make sure you do that. FerrisBaseballJC@gmail.com for all you fans of Ferris High School Baseball. What got you into coaching, Josh? I mean, first of all, were you an athlete back in the day? Did you play baseball? How far did that go?
Yeah.
And what prompted you to join coaching?
So I was an athlete. I did play baseball in high school. I went to Lincoln High School, home of the Lions, which is across town. It's not a baseball school per se, but I did get the opportunity after high school to walk on to a mid-major Division I program here located in Jersey City, St. Peter's College at the time, now St. Peter's University. As they say, I had a cup of tea in the game at that level. And immediately after, I began coaching, and in large in part had to do with my younger brother, who was one of my, he was somebody I worked with a lot. And then so when he started as a freshman at Ferris, I hooked up with the then former coach Mike Hogan, and he gave me an opportunity to coach at the age of 20 years old. And so I was an assistant varsity coach, you know, learning the ropes while I was on the job, you know, at 20 years old, which is fairly young, and I'm 39 now, so I do have, you know, between 18, 19 years of experience, but that's how it started. It all started with Ferris High School.
Well, it's funny about, you know, you're a prime example of you can come home again, as they say, especially in sports when that's not always possible. Folks, again, if you're just joining us live right now here on Blog Talk Radio, my guest tonight is the head baseball coach at Ferris High School. Josh Beteta joins us here on Talk on the Hudson. If you wish to call in, folks, we'll take some calls a little bit later. So if you do call in at 657-383-0296, stay in the call queue. We'll take your calls a little bit later. We appreciate your patience. I want to get to as much as I can with Josh tonight here on Talk on the Hudson. Josh, let's sort of fast forward to the present day. Without a doubt, obviously, you know, we know that high school athletics, I think, is arguably one of the best resources for our kids. It gives them the opportunity to learn the importance of sportsmanship, teamwork, discipline. Again, having been involved in it, so I know these lessons firsthand. But when we think about how important high school athletics are, and whether it's baseball, whether it's volleyball, whether it's tennis, bowling, whatever, these sort of organized activities are just an invaluable resource for our kids, especially in high school.
Absolutely.
where we know that, you know, and you and I are roughly around the same age and demographic. So I think when I say this, I think you'll hopefully agree with it. It was a very different time for us when we went to high school. You know, the pressures of adolescence are very different than they are now. We certainly didn't have to deal with social media. I mean, hell, we barely had to deal with the internet. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where there's an enormous amount of pressure put on our kids. And I would argue that sports, again, organized sports at the high school level, allows our kids to, you know, enjoy themselves and, you know, collaborate with other kids and, again, learn all those valuable lessons that hopefully they take into adulthood. And I think what bothers me a lot, and I see this happening throughout a lot of different districts in New Jersey. Fortunately, where I live, in Union City, that's not the case. I mean, the Union City School District, I mean, is, let me tell you something, the Union City Board of Ed does an incredible job in supporting athletics from, again, especially, you know, let's just starting with the high school. I mean, they do not go without. And I think they're incredibly blessed, very fortunate. But that's not always the case in every school district. And I know that you have a specific grievance here tonight that, you know, and as specific as you can be here this evening, I think it's imperative for our audience to understand what's going wrong in the Jersey City School District when it comes to athletics, because I think there's a lot to unpackage there.
Yeah, I mean, first, you're absolutely right about Union City and our bordering neighbors in Hudson County. You know, I get quite jealous, to be honest, when I see the facilities and the treatment and the support. What's going on with the state of athletics in Jersey City is that it's on a rapid decline, you know, and it starts at the very top. And what's going on is that every single year budgets are being cut. And so, you know, we have to do things on our own to raise money for either uniforms, equipment. You know, it's just very disheartening that as the years go on, that things get worse and not better. You would have thought that in our day, you know, things would have been worse. But in fact, it's the total opposite. You know, we had more when there was less, and now there's more, you know, more money, and we get less. So it's a very, it doesn't feel good. It feels like you're unappreciated at times, and it feels like a losing fight. But one thing I'll tell you about myself is I will never stop advocating for kids and what they deserve, you know. And I feel this is a rite of passage for kids. Our kids, this is an American right to have certain amenities. We're not asking for, you know, take us, you know, playing at Yankee Stadium or to give us, you know, professional equipment, but the bare minimum. You know, we used to get cleats, stuff like that. They don't get that anymore. You know, kids barely get a T-shirt to practice in. And so this is what's so disheartening about the Jersey City Board of Education, that they're not providing assistance.
And Josh, let me ask you this, because, again, there's a lot to unpackage there. So let me try to dissect this as best as I can. I can hear the despair in your voice about how concerned you are and how frustrated you are. It sort of begs the question, number one, how high up, as they say, the totem pole have you taken your grievances? Because, one would conclude, perhaps, that, you know, as a coach and being as invested as you are, that you haven't – obviously, you have not been quiet. You're not going to stay quiet. The administration – whether it be the superintendent or the trustees on the Board of Education, I mean, have they heard your grievances? And if you're at liberty to share, like, what are those conversations like?
Sure. So specifically to the school's administration, my athletic director and principal, it really doesn't fall on them. They have to answer to someone else. And though someone else is, because it's multiple people, they're very difficult to get to get in contact with. You know, I believe that communication is essential in every relationship, and there is no communication. You know, I've actually been told to not reach out directly to these supervisors because that's not protocol. And so I'm, you know, basically muffled in what I want to say because I have to go through third parties to get my message across. So you ask, how high have I gone up? Well, I've tried in the past, but I've also been reprimanded for doing so.
Yeah, that's very, wow. Again, I'll continue with the word. It's very disheartening.
Wow. I mean, I have to say that, you know, when you hear that sort of dynamic, it makes you wonder exactly, you know, who's listening and who is attending to these grievances. And I'm sure you're not the only person. I'm sure that they've heard it from parents who are just as invested as you are in seeing their kids succeed. And again, you know, how many times do we see our kids in multiple school districts that are very gifted athletes that have incredible potential, have a future to maybe go to college, get, you know, again, get a scholarship to go to college, to play the sport that they love, and to see it sort of not materialize, I think is disheartening. And I think it's, again, I don't want to sound like I'm being hyperbolic tonight, folks, but it's disgusting because if anything, especially in our inner cities, in urban areas, you know, athletics is, in many instances, has been a way for kids to get out of urban areas, to go to college, to go and play the sport of their dreams, to maybe live away, and to have that maybe minimized or not have as many opportunities, I think is, it's embarrassing. I'll put it out there. And,
yeah.
You know, I can tell that you're very, very disappointed in that. Another point you referenced, I think, which is interesting is, you know, you talk about the neighboring townships. And again, I don't want to paint with a broad brush. I'm not privy to information about budgets. I would not want to insult my very intelligent audience and say, hey, listen, I know about budgets completely. No, I don't. What I will say, though, is, again, I think we have to look at every municipality differently. As we all know, folks, again, and I'm not trying to teach a civics course here on the air, but we all know that school districts are funded by property taxes, and that's by parents, homeowners, renters, whatever. You know, this pool of money of property taxes is what funds our school districts. Now, of course, they do get funding from Trenton, but I think, Josh, I think we both know not all districts are the same. Not all districts are equal. They're not equal in the eyes of Trenton, as they say. And I think that also becomes a problem. I mean, what do you want to say tonight to the Board of Education? What do you want to say to the superintendent and the trustees? Because it seems like Trenton sends money, or it seems like the Board of Ed budget and the city budget in Jersey City are two different universes.
Yeah, my message would be, let's work together. You know, listen to us. You know, we have a voice. We have a lot of insight on what goes on in those locker rooms, on what, you know, what the state of athletics, you know. And so I don't want to attack them. I want to work with them. But me doing this, coming on a podcast and having to talk about the truths, if that's what it takes to get their attention, then so be it. But I really would like to work with the board, you know, as far as helping out. You know, it's just so unfortunate. And I'll continue by saying, you know, our facilities are so outdated. I wish somebody would take just a tour of our locker room and just take a tour of our facilities. But I've never seen anybody do that. It's really unfortunate. And again, it all goes back to the lack of communication. You know, we're not able to get these messages across. And so they have no clue as to what's going on, you know. But I will say, you know, we've had a lot of success in our program. And what the easy thing to do is take a picture when everybody's doing well, you know. But it's not about pictures and photo ops. I want to see some action. And so I would say, please, just come take a look. Take a walk around. Come see what we're dealing with. Come check it out for yourself. And you'll see that I'm actually being really, really reserved when it comes to how dire the situation is, at least for our school.
Folks, if you're just joining us right now, it's 8:23 on the East Coast here on Block Talk Radio. My guest tonight is the head baseball coach at Ferris High School in Jersey City. Josh Padetta joins us here on Talking the Hudson. Folks, again, brought to you by the Township of Weehawken, the Sibian City, the Office of State Senator Brian Stack, and, of course, the town of West New York, here bringing you this podcast on Block Talk Radio. Of course, folks, call in. I'll be taking some calls a little bit later, 657-383-0296. Again, please be patient. And I do see some people on in the call queue. Please just bear with me, folks. I'll get to you in moments. I just want to get to as much as I can with our guest tonight here on the podcast. Josh, you know, it's interesting because you bring up the dynamic about it's not just about taking pictures when things are going great and championships are being won
right.
or accolades are being bestowed. It's about really having the sense of, hey, this is what – and no one is asking, you know, for the Quest Diagnostic Center on Route 3, okay, in Jersey City. No one's expecting that, okay? No one's expecting that training facility where the New York Giants play, you know,
right.
or the Ford Center or the Ford Center in Dallas where my Cowboys practice. You know what I'm saying? So, but what we would like to see theoretically is an upgrade, you know, making sure that our kids have good locker rooms, good showering facilities, good training facilities, especially as these are young men and women and their bodies are developing, they're growing, they're developing more muscle mass, perhaps. You want to make sure that
right.
they have the resources necessary to blossom and to continue to develop as athletes. And it seems like this growth is being stunted, and that's alarming, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think another point to make is they have to remember the kids that we're serving. You know, we're not talking about kids that are from the suburbs. They know the numbers. They know how economically disadvantaged a lot of our kids are in the Board of Ed. You know, they have the numbers. So we need to show those kids that if you can make it out. But when you come from a place of no, which is what I call the Board of Ed, they come from a place of no, for everything is no, you know, you become hopeless. You become hopeless and you give up. And that's not something that we teach. It's not something that we want to do. But I can see how easily, you know, someone would give up in their effort to try to get better and do better. But yeah, they have to remember that we're serving underprivileged children for the most part, and
yeah.
and that's what's so disheartening. So if we're really doing this for the kids, you know, then where's the action? I'm all about action, not about words, not about photo ops. I want to see action, and that's what we're asking for: some action, immediate action.
No, certainly, Josh. What's been the feedback from parents? Have you had an enormous amount of parents reach out to you, airing the same grievances? Again, I don't know because I haven't been to board meetings per se, so I can't really comment or speculate. But have you heard of parents wanting to go to board meetings, voicing their displeasure to the superintendent and the trustees, or is it just something that maybe, you know, has not gained enough momentum yet for parents to be really, really angry?
No, it's something that is my parents are well aware. You know, one of the things I do take pride in is the communication I have with my parents. You know, I have them in a chat and I give them all the information regarding scheduling and practices, but I do also inform them when necessary what's going on. They want to know what's going on in the locker room. They want to know why, you know, their kids are coming home saying, hey, we don't have a place to change, or, you know, the weight room is inadequate, it's outdated. You know, so the parents are involved, but I am guilty of asking the parents to tone it down, because they do want to write letters. They do want to write emails. But I've asked them to, you know, sit back a little bit. But at this point, you know, like I said, I'm very frustrated. You know, if that's a point where it's a boiling point. And so, yes, to answer your question, yes, our parents are aware. They just haven't gotten to that point, because I kind of ask them to be more reserved.
Well, I think that's a good move by you. I think, obviously, you know, you're coaching their kids, and I think you also want to maybe just ensure there's some prudence here, because it's easy to get emotional, and rightfully so, man. These are our kids in our school district. These are our kids
right.
playing athletics, and it's easy to get emotional about this. It's easy to get fiery and at times impulsive, right? I mean, how many times have we seen parents be a little too impulsive at board meetings? And you know, again, I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean that as a slander on anybody or a smear, but you know, they mean well, but sometimes, you know, the execution or the verbalization doesn't come out as well as we're, you know, sort of conceptualizing in our brains, as they say.
Right.
Let's get to another topic, and we'll get back to this in a moment, because I really want to pick your brain on the following.
Sure.
One of the things that has come under a lot of scrutiny though, also, Josh, and I think there's an element of athletics attached to it as well. We know that Liberty State Park has been in the headlines for months, if not years. And,
yes.
the, you know, what the vision of what Liberty State Park should look like, I think, it means different things to different people. So I'll sort of put this out there. I talked about it with Councilwoman Mayor Prince Array a few weeks ago here on the show. I mean, I visit Liberty State Park, not regularly, but I do enough times during the year that I enjoy walking through it. I'm an avid volunteer with the American Cancer Society. So every October during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I make it a point to raise money in fundraising and then do the walk in Liberty, you know, at Jersey City. Beautiful. At Liberty State Park. And obviously other walks I like to do, the Alzheimer's Walk and other things. And I've always enjoyed what Liberty State Park represents. You know, some people have a vision that if you want to take some of the land there, and I've seen what the plans look like or people's vision of it. Now, again, correct me if I'm wrong. Right. We need green space. There's no question. In an area that's as densely populated as ours, where development is spreading like a rash almost, you know, when you look at the amount of where Jersey City is being developed, you know, the West Side, Greenville, downtown, General Square, you got those two ugly ass buildings in General. Yeah, you got those two ugly ass buildings in General Square. It looks like a salt and pepper shaker in the middle of General Square. It's unbelievable. But you know, I look at what people envision, and maybe a small amphitheater, maybe some athletic field, soccer, baseball, football, you know, a roller rink, something. I'm all for green space. We need it. I think it's important for our kids and for our community. But again, man, when I think of an amphitheater, you know, during the summers, you know, obviously not post-pandemic, obviously in pre-pandemic, I love going to the PNC Arts Center down the shore to catch concerts. That's right. Great. You know what? If you create a small amphitheater at Liberty State Park where you can have shows, you can have concerts, you can have, I don't know, some sort of events or something, plus all those athletic fields, I don't think that's a bad thing, dude. I mean, again, maybe I'm in the minority. I'm not saying take up the whole park, but just a small section, create a little arena, a little amphitheater, a sufficient amount of athletic fields. I don't think I'm a bad guy for advocating for that. But some people might say, hey, Fernando, you know, all the eco warriors might say, well, Fernando, you're evil. All right, well, whatever, I'm evil. I'm just trying to think of things that make Liberty State Park attractive, like Central Park is to people. I think Liberty State Park could do that too, within reason. Is that fair to say?
Great. Yeah, and so as far as the Liberty State Park plan goes, I grew up down the block from Liberty State Park. That's where I was raised. I was raised about a mile and a half away, walking distance, so literally, I was a bike ride away, and when I saw these plans, what I saw was opportunity. And I agree with you. We do need green space. But with this plan, there would be over 500 acres of natural space. You know, there would be 100 acres used for a recreation center, a community center, which we don't have in Jersey City. And in fact, we would be cleaning up about 250 acres of land that's contaminated. Now, living so close, I never knew that this was the case, unbelievably so. We just saw it as something that was closed. It said no trespassing, and we just figured, you know, it's just not a place where you could walk. But as you grow up and you learn certain things, you know, you know, being the community that's right in the shadows of Liberty State Park, you know, you start wondering, you know, what's there? You know, has any of this caused sickness in our area? Has this caused any type of cancer cluster? Has there been any of those type of studies? And so with this plan in place, you know, it benefits everyone. I mean, we're not trying to tell the passive park goer that you can't come here and do what you want to do. No, it's big enough where, just like you said, we could have it all. You know, and I think that word arena gets thrown around when they talk about, you know, I shouldn't say arena, but stadium. They talk about this huge stadium and, you know, how's it going to be? You know, they're going to try to make money from it. But in reality, it's not a stadium. It's a 2,000-seater, which is basically a high school field. And so what that would provide is track and field, which we also have only one of in Jersey City. And I'm just talking about Jersey City Public Schools. There's 35,000 kids in the school system. That's not including St. Peter's Prep, Hudson Catholic, St. Dominic's, the many charter schools. You know, so we're talking about a good amount of kids, and we all have to share these resources. So what does Liberty State Parks plan do for us? It affords us the availability of certain fields where we're not crowded on top of each other, We don't have to fight for fields, which is something we do have to do every year. And basically everybody wins. And I don't see it as a lose-lose. I want to see this opportunity come to Liberty State Park. I think it would be quite amazing, to be honest with you.
No, I'm with you. And again, I think we can still reserve green space, which is crucial. But the idea of creating, let's say, a small amphitheater where we could have concerts, and again, those revenues could help Jersey City. I mean, listen, again,
absolutely.
Again, this is not a political issue, but as someone who on this program and my brand of journalism, I mean, I'm a staunch fiscal conservative. You know, if I can, and I'm a capitalist, if I can raise money in a way that's responsible, if we could have an amphitheater that hosts concerts, that hosts events, that can bring in revenue, and that in itself helps the city, whether it can help the school board,
absolutely,
the school district, or the city, I don't see it's a win-win for me. Having athletic ball fields, having facilities for the city of Jersey City. Now, again, how that's appropriate between the high schools, I mean, again, that's above my pay grade, you know, so I can't comment on that. But I would say that those, I think, are invaluable resources, I think, that I can go a long way. Again, no one's saying you have to tear up the park and just make it, you know, a 15,000-seat arena. No one's saying
absolutely
that. But if you can make it something that's an attractive destination, okay, Liberty Science Center is just as attractive for Liberty State Park. You can add these amenities
right
as well and still enjoy the green space. Folks, it's 8:35 here on the East Coast on Blog Talk Radio. My guest tonight is the distinguished head baseball coach at Ferris High School in Jersey City, Josh Padetta, joins us here tonight. Let's go to the phones and take some calls. Josh, how do you feel about that? Cool?
Hey, let's do it.
All right. Okay, we got a 646 number. Real quick, what's your name, what you're calling from, and what do you got for me and Josh here tonight on Talking to Hudson? 646,
hey, what's
you're
up,
on
man?
The air.
My name is John Codling. I don't have a question. It's more of a statement. And I love the fact that Josh is speaking up. This is a story that I'm heavily involved in and been following for a long time. And I heard you say that this isn't a political thing, but it is. And the reality of what's going on here is that there's one man who has prevented this progress for this whole entire community, and more so the kids that Josh is speaking about. And, you know, this community, I'm actually making a film about this. I have been for some time now. And, you know, keep getting loud, you know, because there's the politics that are here is people caving to this guy who's, claiming to be an environmentalist, claiming to be a protector of the park. And what has he done? He's left 250 acres of contaminated waste there. It's been there for 50 years. So if I was a protector of this park, probably the first thing that I would have done is clean up the waste. And this community, Josh's community, and all the surrounding communities, and I've spoke to tons of people in the surrounding areas and other coaches, and like you guys just said, you can have it all. There shouldn't be a fight here. This is common sense. And, you know, the people need to work together, and they need to do it in a much more expedient fashion so that, you know, these kids aren't waiting for another 50 years for something that they do deserve and that they do need, and that every other place you go to in America has these amazing facilities and they're being built. Mm-hmm. And you know, you've got eight high schools sharing a field. So I applaud what he's doing. If anybody else wants to talk on film or share what they're going through or make their voice be heard, it's at JW Codling on Instagram. You know, hit me up. You want to be part of this film. You want your voice to be heard. It's important. And what Josh is doing here and that bravery is very important. And, that's it.
Listen, I just
thank
got
you,
to say to you,
appreciate
man,
that.
Listen, congratulations to you on the, again, as you're making your film. Certainly, folks, check out, what was your Instagram again, man? Make sure everyone hears
it's
it again.
It's JWCODLING.
All right, folks, make sure you follow him. Josh, how do you care to respond?
No, I mean, again, it was a statement very, very well put. it is an opportunity again. We do deserve this. You know, it's something that we haven't had ever in this city's history. And so, yes, it is a state park, but who is it going to benefit? You know, that's what we need to talk about is who are these amenities going to be for? And they're going to be to serve the community, you know, a community that's underserved, underprivileged, and a community that needs something to look forward to. And so this plan works for the community. Now, the people that are opposing it, you know, on the surface, at least to me, this is an opinion, they seem very admirable. It seems, you know, like something that's commendable. But at the same time, you know, if you're taking care of this, like you said you have, then why haven't you advocated to get it cleaned up at the very least? You know, why do you want to keep it the same? Those are some of the questions that I have, you know, and that I wish I could one-on-one talk about. But unfortunately, when you talk about the opposition, sometimes they could seem unassuming and very passive, but they get really mm-hmm. ugly when it comes to their mm-hmm. trolling, I guess you would call it.
Sure.
And so mm-hmm. I find it funny that they call our side the dark side, but if you go on Instagram or Facebook, Twitter, you would see it's the total opposite. And mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but a lot of those people that are talking about Liberty State Park and keeping it so passive are not from Jersey City. You know, mm-hmm. I would love to go to the park and be able to take a stroll and go watch birds and, you know, see everything the park has to mm-hmm. offer. But at the same time, we have a war going on in the south side of Jersey City. You know, another part about this is it's going to save lives. You know, sports saves lives, whether people like it or
yes.
not. It's an outlet that's necessary.
That's right.
And so active recreation, a recreation center, you know, somebody like Bob Hurley, you know, the legendary Bob Hurley who's in charge of this and who's the president who's spearheading this, how can you deny that this man is for the community? After coaching for 50 years at the renowned St. Mm-hmm. Anthony's High School, how can we mm-hmm. deny that anything this man is not in the best interest
yeah.
of the community? You know,
no,
I find
definitely.
That hard to believe when people talk about him. It really is hurtful.
No, definitely, John.
It's a travesty. I don't know if I'm still on here. And the, you know, the other thing that he's talking
yeah.
about, which
mm-hmm.
is being explored in my film, is just, you know, when people, you know, there's so much woke stuff going on. I hate using that word, but like, you know,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, I think a lot of politicians and people are scared to stand up because you're standing up to somebody who's presenting themselves as this environmental guy. So anybody going against that is frowned upon and looked upon with a frown. But what Josh is talking about is real. We're talking about
mm-hmm.
saving the lives of children and,
absolutely.
You know, putting kids in a place where they feel like their life matters. And they might not all go on to become, you know, Heisman Trophy winners or play professional
sure.
sports. But that
mm-hmm.
moment, playing on a real field and having the same facilities and not being embarrassed about where you're playing, you know, your home games is important to children. You know, myself,
mm-hmm.
I've
yeah.
had things that I've done in my life that are defining moments. And why not give that to kids if we can? And there's,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not like there's not space there. You know, like I said, if there's 250
yeah.
acres of contaminated waste, there's plenty of room for trails. There's plenty
mm-hmm.
of room for ball fields. There's plenty of room for everything. And I really hope, you know, getting into the story, I just really hope that more people like Josh wake up and this community continues to get loud and get on the side of common sense, you know?
Yep.
So
John, thanks
for listening to me. Yeah.
No, John, I appreciate the call. I hope you keep tuning into the show every week and share the podcast when you can. And folks, check him out. He's at JWCODLING. He's an incredible artist. Great stuff going on his page. John, I look forward to seeing your film. If you need someone to be on the air or if you need someone to interview, I'm happy to do that. I'm as active as anyone politically locally. So
I'd love to come talk to you. I've spoken to so many people. Like I
okay.
said, this film was a derivative of, you know, hearing this story, you know, quite some time ago, you know, almost a year ago now, and not even
sure.
believing
mm-hmm.
it, not even believing that this could be
sure.
true. And then the further you go past the headlines and you start to reveal what's really going
mm-hmm.
on, it's an important story to be told. It's not just a Jersey
sure.
City
mm-hmm.
story. This is a story about
absolutely.
America. So I'm excited
yeah.
to tell it, man.
Well, John, listen, reach out to me off the air. Love to talk with you.
I will.
Love to participate any way I can.
Will.
But John, thanks so much.
Guys.
Thanks for the call, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks again.
Okay, thanks, John.
Josh, you know, it's interesting. You know, he brings up a good point there, and I was not to say I'm hesitant because I'm really unfiltered on this program, but it makes you wonder because when you think of Jersey City right now, you think of its mayor, and you think of the guy who is, for all intents and purposes, looking to run for governor in 2 years, ultimately, as the Democratic nominee for governor. It's going to be a pretty crowded field that I've talked about on my other shows. For everybody that tunes into my media brand, obviously you listen to Real Talk with Fernando Uribe on Jersey First TV or Talking Politics with Ultimate Media Group. I've talked about this at length and obviously with other elected officials about Stephen Phillips' chances. And, you know, it almost begs the question, though, Josh, that, you know, for a guy that is a three-term mayor, has announced that he's not running for a fourth term, that he, again, thanked Jersey City in this very sort of extensive video he published a couple months ago, it kind of just lends the rumor that, you know, he's going to be running for governor, trying to be the Democratic nominee and try to win in 2025. It almost seems like, you know, when you see things like this, is this an indictment of Stephen Phillips? Is this something that, you know, when you look at it and say, hey, this guy's running for governor, but this is happening on his watch. Is this a good look for Stephen Phillips, or is it unfair to sort of put the blame on him? Well, maybe it's more on the school district, like the Board of Ed, for example.
Well, I would love to say it's the school district, but yeah, he has to bear a lot of responsibility when it comes to our city parks. You know, one of the reasons that I'm such an advocate for Liberty State Park is because the city parks are in such bad shape. And so you always have to look at the top. You have to look to leadership and who's appointed to what. And so even though he's not directly, you know, in charge of the field per se, you know, there are people that are in charge that I believe need to do better. You know, we have parks in Jersey City that are 25 years old, for example, a park in downtown Jersey City and one of the, you know, it's one of the nicest areas in Jersey City where there's a lot of wealth down there. And you have this sore thumb that sticks out. And so my question is, why don't we care enough to maintain these fields? You know, the field is 25 years old, but it looks like it's about 100 years old. You know, it's so terribly maintained, if you want to even call it maintained. And there's, you know, you have dogs that run on the field that are pooping on the field. And so it seems like it's nothing. But when one of my players goes out there and he has to stretch on this poop, you know, and he gets sick, What are they going to tell us? They're not going to say anything because my ball player is of a black and brown color. And so I would love to see a little more action with our city officials when it comes to the parks. I mean, you have the director of recreation that works above Caven Point Field, which is Cochran Field, named after Eddie Ford. God bless his soul. And it's in terrible shape, yet your office is directly on top of it. You know, what does that say about leadership? You know, when I have a kid that can't catch a fly ball at night, my best outfielder on a team that's ranked in the top 20 in the state, and he can't see the ball because the lighting is inadequate. Or my pitcher that goes down 2 days before the championship because the turf is hollow underneath, and he twists his ankle and he gets to the size of a watermelon. You know, so these are the issues with Jersey City, and it all starts up top. And so, unfortunately, it is an indictment on Mayor Phillip. You know, I will give him credit that he does communicate well. I've communicated with him, but at the same time, he is not in tune with what the city needs, you know, as far as anything south of downtown Jersey City. You know, I've asked, where are the recreation centers? And I've been told certain locations are recreation centers, and that's what's so disheartening because a recreation center has a gym, it has facilities for kids to use, and the place that he directed me to is a community center. There's no gym. You know, there is a place for kids to do after-school work and so on, but that's not a recreation center. It's a community center. There's a big difference. And so, yes, to answer your question, yeah, responsibility does go all the way to the top.
It almost makes you wonder, though, Josh, that, you know, you think about these you know, lackluster facilities. I mean, it breaks my heart to even hear that kids have to play on fields that the turf is atrocious, that's causing injuries like this. And by the way, folks, I'm not a medical doctor, but, you know, recovering from an ankle sprain is not easy. You know, that's a delicate thing. And for athletes, obviously, you know, it is the bread and butter almost when it comes to looking at recovery. And then even just looking at facilities, whether there's sufficient lighting or whether there's the grass is well maintained. Like, again, it was interesting because I was driving, I think, last week on 440. I was going to a car dealership trying to get a new lease, and I was driving on, I guess, oncoming 440. And obviously you look at the, the field across from the golf course, or even that one, or even as you're driving down Newark Avenue past Dickinson High School into downtown, and you see, like, on the left-hand side, there's a field there. It just looks poor.
That's the field I was telling you.
Yeah. And it just makes you wonder, like, what in the world is going on here? Like, how is this even possible when, again, and I don't want to sound cold-hearted here or harsh, but it seems like there's money for, and again, we need money for books. We need money for technology for our kids, you know, Chromebooks or MacBooks or whatever, or iPads, whatever. We need all that stuff. That's right. Important. But the idea that, you know, we can't find some money to replenish the grass on our fields to make, I'm not saying put on
right.
turf, because we all know how harmful turf is to our knees and ankles and hips and everything. But you know, to have maintenance, to make sure that these facilities are up to date and not an eyesore, I just think it's embarrassing for a city that, let's be honest, and again, I'm not the assessor, I'm not the business, I'm not the tax collector in Jersey City, but you would think with the amount of development and more people are moving into Jersey. By the way, folks, again, I'm not trying to teach a civics class here, but you look at the census data, Josh, and you could tell that since the last census was taken in 2010, I mean, there has been a large influx of people into Jersey City. Now, whether, again, I don't have the numbers specifically in front of me, but if we break it down, obviously a large amount of downtown, the Heights, to some extent the West Side, not to sound mean because I pick up Greenville sometimes, but, you know, I'm sure some people move into Greenville. I wouldn't, but you know what I'm saying? But there's an influx. And you would think that with these properties, rents are going up, these owners are collecting rents vis-a-vis helps to pay for property taxes, that this pool of money is coming into the city that you're like thinking, okay, this is good. But it makes you wonder, where is it all going? And again, I'm not trying to sort of just, you know, ostracize the Board of Ed and the trustees in the Board of Ed or the superintendent. But it makes you wonder, you know, this budget keeps growing like a fat kid in a bakery, but where's it going to?
Yeah. Right. Well, I also have to mention the major field in Jersey City, Caven Point, is owned by the Jersey City Board of Education and maintained by the city of Jersey City. That's where the conflict begins, because you ask one what to do with it and they refer you to the other. And so you just get stuck in this little warped zone where, you know, you get no answers. And so it's also a major indictment on the Jersey City Board of Education, because we haven't had new turf on that field for over 12 years. And I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be tested every year, and I'm not sure if it is. You know, they can correct me if I'm wrong. But, yeah, they look for grants and they look for outside ways to have this field redone. But then, you look at the paper a couple of days ago, and you see that they just approved $1 million for esports, you know, for esports. And you hear that the superintendent of schools said this is an alternative to sports. Well, I'm here to tell you, those kind of kids that play esports are not the same kids that are playing basketball, football, baseball, swimming, et cetera, softball. You know,
correct.
And so this is where you become so disheartened, because you can't get your field fixed that you own. It's a jewel. It's a gem. That facility can be such a beautiful gem. Yet it's just disregarded, outdated, you know, and nothing ever gets done. Nobody speaks up. You know, there's murmurs about it. You know, people talk about it in circles, but nobody says anything. And so who's going to take accountability for a field that used to hold championships, a field that was the pride and joy of Jersey City. That's no more, because I'll tell you, as a coach, home plate is not even aligned with the pitching mound. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Wow.
Because you have teams that come down here. You have teams that come down here, and they aesthetically it looks nice when you're coming off the bus. But you take a step onto that field, and you understand what I'm talking about. And
sure.
So who is going to be accountable for this, you know? And this is why this all ties in with the Liberty State Park and the Board of Education and wanting more, is because, of, you know, nobody's held accountable. So I say, you know, Liberty State Park is the new alternative for fields. And who else has given us the opportunity? That's my question. Who else has given us an opportunity of such a beautiful project that we would love to see come to fruition? You know, but it's terrible that this is the state of our city, unfortunately.
Listen, Josh, you said it perfectly. Folks, it's 8:54 here on the East Coast. We're about to approach 9 o'clock here on Blog Talk Radio. And our guest tonight here on Talk in the Hudson, he is the distinguished head baseball coach at Ferris High School. The great Josh Padetta joins us here on Talk on the Hudson. Josh, before I let you go, it's been a wonderful conversation as we approach the 9 o'clock hour here on the East Coast. And before I let you go, obviously, I think we could talk for 3 or 4 more hours. I mean, that's how good this conversation has been with you. And I appreciate how, you know, the awareness you're raising, the concerns that you are conveying to our audience tonight. And for everyone tuning in, do me a favor. Share this episode tonight. Mass email it. Send it to the Board of Ed. Send it to parents. Get involved, folks. And I understand that as we're getting back to normal after 3 years later after the pandemic. And, you know, if anything we've learned, sports have been an incredible resource and will continue to be a great resource to our kids. But more so, especially after the last 3 years, you know, we have yet to really learn the ill effects of what happened with COVID and what the impact it did to shutting down our schools and the harm that's done to our kids. And I think sports is a great way to remedy it. But we still have not learned. And again, I don't want to get overly political here because, folks, for those of you that listen to my show religiously, you know where I stand. I'm not vaccinated. I'm never going to get vaccinated. But I'm not here to you know, push people in one way or the other. The point is that when it comes to education and the impact on our kids, we saw what happened in New Jersey with shutting down schools. We saw what a harmful policy it was by our governor. We saw how other states got it right. And again, I don't want to get political about a virus, folks, but we saw how other states got it right. They just did. Florida, Texas, and others. It just seems like New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut got it wrong. And the ones that are going to suffer the most are our kids and their education and their learning. And we have yet to really see the effects of that yet. We're seeing it, but we haven't really seen a full report about it. Yeah, please, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I disagree with we are not seeing the consequences of COVID. I would ask teachers all over the state. I would ask coaches as myself. You know, I get to speak to other coaches from other cities, other towns. And we are seeing the consequence of COVID, you know, the instant ramifications that are going on. You know, mental health issues at an all-time high.
No, Josh, real quick, I'll let you finish. What I was trying to get at is we haven't seen it sort of like in a report per se, but you're right.
We have seen it.
I talk to teachers. I have friends in school districts all across New Jersey, and I can tell you wholeheartedly, they have seen with their own eyes the detrimental effects of what the shutdown did to our kids, how long it took to reopen schools. You know, in terms of a tangible report, we're probably years away from that, but day to day, teachers are seeing it. Kids are feeling it. You're absolutely right. I'm sorry, I'll let you finish that.
No, I mean, that's absolutely correct. You know, we're feeling it. Coaching nowadays is not just being a coach. You know, you're a coach, you're a manager, you're in a way a psychiatrist, you know, you're a therapist, all that good stuff. But yeah, it's not for the faint of heart. I commend all the teachers that do God's work. I commend all the coaches that do God's work. It's not easy. But like I said, and I'll finish my statement with, it's all for the kids. You know, if we're all for the kids, then we'll do the right thing.
Absolutely. Before I let you go, though, Josh, you have been a wealth of information for our audience tonight. And once again, folks, take the episode here tonight. Sharing is caring. Mass email it to people. Send it to parents. Send it to other concerned citizens in Jersey City. Make noise. Tell the Board of Ed that you're tired of what's going on in Jersey City. Tell the Jersey City Board of Education that things need to improve for our kids, for our athletes, for our coaches, for our parents. It takes 2 seconds to share. Send it out. Use social media. A lot of people bitch and moan that social media isn't always effective. Make it effective. Use it as a tool. Here's a prime example tonight, folks, of a concerned parent, a concerned coach, a concerned Jersey City native trying to make a difference. And, again, I can't thank you enough, Josh, for coming on tonight.
Thank you so much.
For being courageous, for taking a stand here, and because it's not always easy. So I appreciate you being a fan of the show. I certainly will get you back on soon in terms of an update about what's going on in Jersey City. I've enjoyed our conversation. I look forward to having you back on. I'll give you the last word tonight, bro.
Well, you know, I wanted to just thank you, and I appreciate the platform you have given me. It's not easy, but, you know, like I said before, it's all about the kids. There's nothing in gain. There's nothing I gain out of this. There's no monetary gain. There's no accolades that I'm going to receive from this. If anything, it's probably going to be negative, but all in the name of having more for our kids. They deserve better, and they deserve better now.
Beautifully said. Folks, he is Josh Bedetta, the head baseball coach at Paris High School. He's our guest tonight here on Talk on the Hudson. Folks, make sure you do follow him on Instagram and also, of course, the Ferris High School page. Folks, I can't tell you enough. Josh Bedetta, a warrior, a guy who is vocal, and a guy who really tells it like it is. And those are the type of guests that we like on Talk on the Hudson here on Blog Talk Radio. Josh, God bless you, brother. Have a good Easter if I don't talk to you. But I'll talk to you later this spring to find out what's going on. And thanks for being a fan and joining us here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a good one. God bless you.
Awesome show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. Take care. Have a good night. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks, there. Great interview there tonight with the Ferris High School head baseball coach, Josh Bedetta. And I got to say, you know, listen, I think he shares the concerns of a lot of parents, a lot of coaches, in the Jersey City School District that are just fed up with what's going on, with resources or lack thereof. And I'm hoping that tonight's episode goes a long way in really trying to raise awareness. And that's what we do here, folks. That's why Talking Hudson continues to be the longest-running episodic podcast in Hudson County, approaching, as a matter of fact, on March the 1st. Will be on the air 6 years, folks. Great organic traffic. Amazing guests, a devoted audience. And despite what a lot of the haters might say, yeah, you know, the awards are nice, but, you know, it's more about making an impact in the community. And that's what we do when we have guests like we did tonight. Once again, Ferris High School head baseball coach, Josh Bedetta, joining us here on Talk on the Hudson. Folks, that's our show for this week here. One thing I want to thank our guest here, Josh Bedetta, head baseball coach at Ferris High School. Had a lot to say. Sharing is caring, folks. If you're just joining us live now, share the episode. Once we go off the air, it'll be available to download from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. Go to blogtalkradio.com/talkinthehudson. Download it and share it wherever you get your podcast. And, of course, make sure that you listen to it with friends, raise awareness, and, of course, share it from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. Once again, by going to blogtalkradio.com/talkinthehudson. The full episode in its entirety will be available once we go off the air here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, if you wish to write to the show, folks, talkinthehudson@gmail.com. Write to the show, talkinthehudson@gmail.com. Love to hear from you and certainly what you have to say about tonight's guest and certainly a lot of great topics we touched upon during this live interview here on Talk on the Hudson. Once again, talkinthehudson@gmail.com. Write to the show's inbox. Love to hear from you. What you like about the show, what you don't like about the show, whatever it is, write to us. Once again, talkinthehudson@gmail.com. Don't forget to like the show on Instagram, folks, @TalkOnTheHudson. Of course, check out my own Instagram, @TheFernandoZone, and also on Twitter, @TheFernandoZone. And make sure you like this show on Facebook and also follow me on Facebook as well. Folks, I can't say enough about our outstanding sponsors here on the program that make Talkin' Hudson possible every week here on Blog Talk Radio. Let me tell you about the town of Western York, my hometown, proud Memorial High School Tiger. Check out the great resources available to West New York residents by going to westnewyorknj.org. Special thank you to Mayor Gabriel Rodriguez, along with the Board of Commissioners and Township Administrator Jonathan Castaneda, for their support of the podcast here on Block Talk Radio. Whether it's about community events, upcoming meetings, that and much more, folks, all available by going to westnewyorknj.org. Don't forget to like them on Facebook at Town of West New York, NJ. And, of course, also follow them on both Instagram and Twitter. It's the same handle, at Town of WNY. Or also, folks, I want to thank the Township of Weehawken, proud sponsors as well. Special thank you to Mayor Richard Turner, the Town Council, and Township Administrator Gio Ahmad for the support of the podcast. Make sure you go to weehawken-nj.us for all the latest community news and events going on in the Township of Weehawken. Make sure you like them on Facebook. And, of course, make sure that you also follow them on Twitter, again, at WeehawkenNJ. And, of course, make sure you like them on Facebook by going to the Weehawken official Township Government page. Also want to tell you about the city of Union City, ladies and gentlemen. Certainly the city I call home, a great, great city to live, shop, and really just visit whenever you can. Check it out, www.ucnj.com. Just an outstanding job by our elected officials, Mayor Brian Stack, along with commissioners Lucio Fernandez, Marjorie Martinetti, Celine Valdivia, and Wendy Guan. Folks, as a reminder, check out all the great community events going on in the city of Union City. Once again, by going to www.ucnj.com. Make sure you like the city of Union City on Facebook, and of course, make sure you follow it on Twitter at UC, at official UCNJ. Special reminder, folks, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, February the 22nd, I will be joining John Hines from the Hudson County View for an outstanding Angels in the Ashes fundraiser brought to you by the Hudson Media Group. We'll be live in the Hudson Media Group studios from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., hosting the telethon to benefit the fire victims in West New York Union City recently. Again, the Hudson Media Group will be live streaming the show on all their channels on live stream, on Vimeo, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Joining us will be various elected officials. You definitely want to tune in tomorrow night, folks, Wednesday night, February the 22nd, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., of course, once again, via the Hudson Media Group. And, of course, you know, supporting all the townships, obviously, here as we look to raise money and help out displaced families that have been affected in the town of West New York and the town of Union City as well. Last but not least, folks, I want to tell you about the office of New Jersey State Senator Brian P. Stack, proudly serving the 33rd Legislative District, the new 33rd Legislative District. Of course, pre-pandemic, during the pandemic, post-pandemic, State Senator Brian Stack has been working diligently and tirelessly to help his constituents get back to normal after this pandemic, whether it's been passing bills in the legislature for renters relief, for making sure that our schools are being funded in the 33rd Legislative District, bringing those important resources from Trenton into the 33rd Legislative District. And that's what State Senator Brian Stack does better than anybody in the state legislature. You can contact him at 201-376-1942. Once again, 201-376-1942. Don't forget to like him on Facebook at Brian P. Stack. And, of course, follow him on Instagram and Twitter. It's the same handle, at Mayor Stack. Of course, a fellow member of Cowboys Nation and, of course, an amazing legislator, the best legislator out there, folks. He is State Senator Brian P. Stack, proudly supporting Talking to Hudson here on Block Talk Radio. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank our guest tonight, Ferris High School baseball coach Josh Padetta, for a very lively conversation. You don't want to miss it. If you did, download the episode. It will be available in its entirety after we go off the air in just a few moments by going to blogtalkradio.com/talkingtohudson. You don't want to miss it. Sharing is caring, folks. Share it with parents. Share it with coaches. Share it with everyone you know that's concerned about what's going on in athletics in Jersey City, New Jersey. Always remember, folks, if it's unbiased, unfiltered, and unafraid, it is always the 7-time award-winning Talking to Hudson. I am New Jersey's premier award-winning journalist, top 100 Latino via the Latino Spirit online magazine, the weapon of mass disruption in Garden State Media, and without a doubt, the people's choice and the people's voice. It's me, Fernando Uribe, having just a wonderful time here tonight with all of you here. Folks, enjoy the rest of your week. It is President's Week. And I know a lot of you are home, relaxing, enjoy the time off. The NBA returns later this week after the All-Star break. Pitchers and catchers are still training in Florida and Arizona. Baseball season's around the corner. Folks, just enjoy it. Be safe out there. Take care of yourselves. Please party responsibly, folks, and I'll see you next time here on Talkin' the Hudson on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you again soon. And always remember, let's keep on talking.